Oh, leadership, especially now, is tough. It's tough at best, right? With this constant navigation of daily change in regulations and all the things that we have to deal with on a daily level as leaders and in leadership. But there's just an extra layer of stress going on right now. So how do you be the best leader you can possibly be when things are constantly changing in your workforce, with your staff, your old people, your young people? Everybody deals with stuff differently, right? So whether you employ millennials or you are a millennial working with somebody that's in these massive, massive arenas, right? These tips that are coming up in the next few minutes can massively help you succeed in creating an amazing environment, help contribute to the growing and making your environment a triple win for you and your company. Yes, we're going to be talking about the differences in our age gaps and how millennials coming up into presence get to fit into our environments right now. So wherever you're watching from, thank you so much. You are live on the Erin Strayer Show, where we are all about promoting, cultivating, and expanding amazing female entrepreneurs that are out in the world doing things just a little bit differently. Ooh, and we talk about hot topics like, yes, we are in crisis. Yes, we need leadership. Yes, we have young people coming up through the ranks, and we get to acknowledge them for who they are and their thoughts that come forward. But how do we do that? Because sometimes it's so painful. We're going to talk about that today, and we're going to give you tips and resources to those challenges that we as not millennials face with every single day, every single day. I'm your host, Erin Strayer. And as a peak performance scaling strategist for growth-minded entrepreneurs, recovering corporates and entrepreneurs now hire me to get them past the basics. So past the indecisiveness, past being held hostage by their own fear, and past settling for average. Gosh, we've all been attracted with that settling for average these days, right? Every single thing is changing. So pushing 35 years of cross-training on multiple specialties, including medical, manufacturing, startup, and high-level industry-specific product development, these skill sets now position me with an amazing toolbox of strategies to help you and assist you in the growth of you and your company. You can find me at erinstrayer.com, but this show is never, ever, ever about me. It's always about our amazing guest experts. Oh, and I'm so excited to have her live again with us today. She is returning for a second chance. And as if being based in New York and Portland, Oregon wasn't challenge enough, she's stuck in Portland, Oregon. This intrepid adventurer, author, consultant, speaker, and former academician now coaches, guides, and mentors curious, motivated, and mission-driven professionals to achieve their highest potential by identifying goals and then providing them with a roadmap and guidance to get there. Her book, Millennial's Guide to Work, has received massive, massive praise. Working with complex healthcare, government, and military, as well as the educational environments for over 25 years, she's kind of created a little ecosystem in a lab for evaluating and interpreting the ways for all of us to be more successful in our jobs. Jennifer Wisdom is a licensed psychologist. She's a consultant and author, and she is the author of a new book called Millennial's Guide to Management and Leadership. Ooh, what no one ever told you about how to excel as a leader. Oh, I'm so excited to have her live with us again today. Jennifer!
Hi! So good to see you. So good to be back.
You know, what a prime topic. What a prime time. I'm so excited to have you back because it's our right now too, with all of our millennials rising into leadership roles. And now more than ever, it is huge.
Yep. Yep. It's absolutely huge. The older generations don't have the luxury anymore of pretending millennials are spoiled kids or they're the young ones. The oldest millennials are almost 40 now, and they're moving into management roles. They are the future. They're already 60% of the workforce. And it's really vital that millennials learn how to be good managers and leaders. And I just want to help.
You know, that's a really interesting point because I know that I am guilty of still thinking they're little snots, right? Like I'm guilty of that. And, but really when we stop to think about our millennials, what's the age bracket of our
20
millennials?
20 to 40 right now.
20 to 40. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, what are some of the biggest blocks they come up against right now in the workforce, regardless of this crisis that we're in right now, where right. they're all being asked to and expected to step up, right?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest blocks that I've heard of when I talk to millennials about their workplace experiences and challenges is the Gen Xers and older generations who don't give them a chance, who expect them to know stuff and then get mad at them when they don't, instead of teaching them. That's so challenging. I mean, if people weren't taught something, how are they supposed to know it? And I think there's just, it's almost turned into a sport of poking fun at millennials because they don't know stuff or because they do things differently. But one, that's not really fair. And two, right. does not really support them becoming the leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you as far as the expectation. You know, like, I'm not going to train you how to do that. You should already know how to do it, right? Or why don't you just go and research that anyway and then come back? But then it's never done the way we want it to be done. And I know that I've fallen guilty to that before myself. And I'm just going to raise my hand and kind of like call myself forward. As a leader, I have multiple team members, right? And they are in that millennial stage, and the conversation is awkward at best a lot of times, right? With relaying what I'm expecting or needing from them versus what they hear too.
Right. Right. But this is nothing new. If you think back to when we were 20 or we were 22 and we were new to a workplace, there were plenty of things we didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, not that everyone before was all kind and generous and we're not, but you know, it's really helpful to clarify those expectations. I'll give an example.
Yeah.
I was working with someone who said, I don't understand why these people in my lab aren't doing what I want them to do. I told them that I want to build X, whatever it is.
Sure,
and I said, okay, so tell me what you told them. And he said, well, I told them build X. And I said, well, do they know how to do that? Well, they should. And I thought, they're never, like, start from the beginning, help them understand. He's like, but they should know that already. I said, well, apparently they do not. So start with, the goal is to build X. Here's how we do it. Here's what you need. Here's how you get started. Do this step. And then come see me and I'll check on it. And then we'll move on to the next step. You're training them. You're teaching them. And he was like, okay. And then he came back and was so excited. Like, oh my God, they're doing so much more. Yes.
So those of us Gen Xers, our SOPs, right? Our standard operating procedures, our policies, the way that we do things have to be broken down and actually given to them or gone over with them. I mean, it's an expectation that's, I think, at best, it's unfair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and when I think back to being in middle school and high school and I'd have to do a report, we would have to go to the library and look up the world book and search for things and make all of those connections of different topics in our head to be able to look at all these different pieces. And if we instead had grown up with the internet right here, where you type in the name of a country and it shows you everything you would ever need to know, we would think differently too. So the challenge isn't that the way older people think is correct and the way younger people think is wrong, or even vice versa, but that we think differently. And so trying to bridge that gap and trying to find a way to bring out the best in everyone, that is leadership.
You know, and quite honestly, that gets to span regardless of if you're Gen Xers or millennials or above or below those two. And, you know, this leadership thing, I really want to talk about this leadership thing and how it's showing up and how it really, these millennials are our next leaders, if they're not already stepping into leadership roles. And what does that look like for us? Leaving them in control.
Well, I think for better or for worse, a lot of times that even when younger generations are leaders, they still have people who are senior to them who are helping them out. And so it's not like they've been given the keys and they're all by themselves. So there's that. The other part is people don't necessarily follow what they think they're supposed to do, because they think that when they're leaders, they're there to bring their own ideas to the table, which of course is what we believe. So, you know, I'm not here just to do what you're telling me to do. I'm here to bring my own ideas. And so I think if they come up against that, that boundary, that makes it really hard for them to feel appreciated and to feel like they're bringing something to the table.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that for just a second. The leadership mentality of if you're a really good leader, then you do listen to your people. You do take what they have to say. You do into consideration with, you know, you tap them as a resource,
right?
And you acknowledge the fact that, hey, maybe some upper management leadership role isn't going to have the right answer for what we need.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And again, the point isn't that when you're the boss, you therefore suddenly know everything and nobody knows anything. And your job is to boss them around and tell everybody what to do. Like we're not in like 1920s manufacturing era. We recognize, or at least most of us do, recognize that we bring people onto our team, or there are people on our team, whether they're our choice or not, they all have things to offer. And we may know more about the topic. We may have more years of experience. We may have other strengths that we bring to the table. Maybe that's why we're a leader. And that doesn't mean they don't. And so taking the time to help them identify what they're really good at and help them bring those strengths to the table is just so incredibly important. And I've worked for leaders who are amazing at this, and I just felt so valued and so excited about work. And I've worked for leaders who have not had that approach and have had a very, frankly, negative and disempowering approach. And that's not a position I want to stay in.
Yeah. So taking that a step farther, clearly those are issues that you could run into massive challenges.
Right.
If I'm a millennial and I've been hired for a position, mm-hmm. and I am leading people that are older than me.
Yes. That is what a lot of millennials, especially the older millennials in their 30s, they're older within that group,
right,
are running into. Yeah. And there's some challenges there, because it's not only the millennials, maybe lack of confidence or not being sure how to address this. Both parties may have some negative views of the other person.
Sure.
Right. So the millennial may view the older person as slow or technologically inefficient, or, you know, really stuck on the old way of doing things. And the older person may view the millennial as not having authority to tell them what to do, despite their title, or I'm not going to take orders from some whippersnapper or whatever. Right. So there's just the different areas.
Your elders.
Right.
Right. Mentality.
Right. The good part is that regardless of our age, whenever we're in an organization like that, we each have a job to do. We have a role to play. And the person who's the leader is not necessarily maybe the person we would have chosen, but they're still the leader, and we mm-hmm. owe them that respect, and we owe them the opportunity to help them be better as a leader, the same way they help us be better in our role. And so we can work together. We can work together. We can help each other out. We can focus on doing the mission together and still provide feedback. Some of the most powerful feedback I've received have been from people who were working, who were my staff, when I asked them for feedback, and they said, well, you know, I did want to say when you did this, it made me feel this. This was the reaction I had. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's not what I intended at all. I'm so sorry. And it really changed how I did things. That's so powerful. And I think if everyone along the whole age spectrum can be open to feedback and can have the perspective that the goal is to do the best we can and to do accomplish the mission, create the product, whatever it is, do that together and help each other learn and enjoy yourselves on the way. That doesn't get much better than that.
I agree 100%. And you nailed it on the head with the acceptance of feedback.
Yeah.
Being a key factor in leadership. And I think a lot of us that have had those key leadership roles,
yeah,
we're not so good at accepting feedback.
Is yes. There,
is especially when it's potentially delivered not so smoothly.
Right.
But we need to hear it. Is there a way, like if we're given some tips, not only for the millennials, but for those of us Gen Xers in the area of feedback, is there a way that they can deliver it so that we will receive it? Is there a way that we can be in a place of receiving that's a little bit more conducive to the situation?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's feedback's tough. It's tough to give sometimes, and it's tough to hear. And I think the best way to get better at giving feedback is to get better at getting feedback, which means you're asking for feedback and you are listening and you're saying, thank you, I appreciate your suggestions. Yes. You're not arguing with them about it. Like I always tell people, you get one chance to say, well, I intended this, but that's it. You can't any more than you're arguing. Mm-hmm. You get one chance to explain yourself in the conversation. So being able to accept that feedback and to be able to demonstrate that you are hearing feedback and you're changing because of it. Now, some people say, give me feedback, but then they have no interest in changing at all. So then that doesn't demonstrate goodwill. That just demonstrates they're trying to do something else. That's
check
probably
the box.
Not, right. That's not as helpful.
Yeah.
But I think it's enormously helpful to say, look, I want to do right by my bosses and I want to do right to you, the staff. If you have any suggestions for how we can make things better, let me know. And so you can say that in a group. You can say that individually when you stop by. And of course, you're stopping by and saying hello to people to the extent you can when we're all in a same physical space. But just saying, hey, Aaron, how's it going? What's happening? Is there anything I can help with? Is there anything that's not going well that I can help you with? And doing that and then having, you know, the first time you or one of your coworkers says, you know what, this would help me and I take care of it, everybody's going to know about that. And everyone's going to say, wow, Jen's here to help us, not to be a jerk. She's here to actually help us get our job done. And to me, as a leader and as a manager, sometimes it seems like half of my job is trying to get stuff out of the way for my staff so that they can focus on their actual work and not have to deal with people from other departments or people, things getting in their way or not having the resources they need or whatever it is. How do I make sure you have everything you need to do your job?
And I think that one, thank you for being that person. Thank you for having the team.
Yeah.
I wish every single company would hire somebody like you and your staff to come in and help facilitate the growth of their business.
Me
at
too.
at this leadership level.
Yep.
And to realize that every single, and I know this is something that you do when you go in and work with these people, is that your upper management gets to realize that every single person in every single job position is a leader in their own space, right?
Yep.
So I know also another thing that you really love focusing on when you are hired to come in and transform companies that are struggling, because that's when they hire you,
right?
And your team, they figure something's not working.
Right.
And they probably have a whole lot working, but they realize that there's a massive gap.
Mm-hmm.
And they hire you to come in and what do you across the board feel like? Do you feel like it's communication is the biggest thing that's in the gap? Or do you feel like it's something else?
I would say communication is definitely huge. And I think that the specific issue with communication is not just whether people are saying hi to each other in the hall, but it's really communicating the goals and the goals of the organization. Here's what we're all here to do. The goals of the unit. Here's what finance is here to do, or here's what marketing is here to do. And then also talking with people, having that open communication about what are the best ways for us to achieve these goals? How can we best work together? What's going well? What's not going well? How can we keep moving forward? How do we adjust when someone's out sick? I worked with a group once that was just so toxic that they would essentially like stab each other in the back to get break time, to get vacation time, and then leave one person stranded. So everyone would sign up real quick for vacation over the holidays and leave one person by themselves who was then swamped. And then the next time, of course, that person made sure to sign up first and screw everybody else. Like, that's a terrible team. That angst kind of plays out for the rest of the year because people are ticked about that. But having those moments of communication where you can speak directly and honestly. Mm-hmm. And what I often say to staff when there are challenges, or sometimes even when there's not challenges, is I want you to be happy and successful. Ideally, you can be happy and successful here in this role with us. But if not, I will help you be happy and successful somewhere else. And it happens that sometimes people don't want to change what they're doing. They don't want to stick to new metrics or, you know, rise up to do whatever the changing process is. And they decide they want to go somewhere else and work somewhere else where their boss isn't on their back. Hey, that's fine. I'll help you. I'll give you a letter of recommendation. Yeah. I will let you know wherever else I know of that you can go into. But ideally, you can be happy and successful here. And by that, it means successful. The successful part means you're meeting the criteria that I, as boss, or my boss, or whoever sets out for what we need to be doing here. And you're happy, which means you're not undercutting me. It means you're not griping to your colleagues. It means you're not coming in sour and you know, unhappy every single day. I mean, of course, people have different moments in their lives where things are different. But again, I want people to be happy and successful.
Yeah. And I think as a good leader, and you pointed it out, you touched on it, that a good leader will not only position those employees, whether they're a millennial leader or a Gen X leader.
Right.
Right. Because I know that your specialty is millennials, and your specialty is making sure that the millennials in leadership and management, you know, transition smoothly in and out of there. And that communication in and around them is cohesive, and really everybody's on the same page, because it's really a tough place to be really a tough place to be a lot. And the way that we communicate is different. Mm-hmm. Is different. And I'm so glad that you're in that position. So when they're positioning their employees from a leadership place to make sure that they're happy, to make sure that they're successful, to make sure that they know that there's a scale and a ladder that they can climb inside the mm-hmm. current company, yep. and how to get there and how to maneuver and what needs to, you know, what check boxes need to be checked in order to be considered even for upward motion inside the company. You know, I know that that's conversation that's all had in there. And as millennials, and then I want to talk about your book.
Okay.
You're really excited to talk about your book.
Okay.
You know, is that like a really big pain point when they're feeling stuck inside of there? I mean, I can only imagine, but.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of this has to do with different expectations. So we've probably heard a lot, I'm sure you've heard as well, that millennials expect a raise or a promotion about twice as frequently as Gen Xers do, which is probably four times as frequently as even older generations do. There's something that's different around having those expectations for being rewarded for different things. Now, for Gen Xers and baby boomers, they might look at that and say, who do you think you are? You don't deserve to be rewarded just for doing your job. You have to earn it. You have to, you know, I suffered or whatever, right? So sometimes that can just set up some hard feelings from the beginning of like, how dare the millennials have this expectation?
Yeah.
But from their perspective, that's a really reasonable expectation. And I think for me, being a Gen Xer, I think it's a reasonable expectation that people are rewarded for doing good work. That doesn't necessarily mean a raise every 6 months or a title change, but there are a lot of different ways to reward people and to recognize people that are really easy.
Yeah.
And that can mean a lot to them in ways that aren't salary or title related. And ultimately, if people don't feel like they're being seen, and if they don't feel like they're being appreciated, they might move on to somewhere else. And so you have to decide, if you're a Gen X or a baby boomer, do I want to, you know, put my foot down and say, that's ridiculous that they feel that way, so I'm not going to do anything about it, and maybe they'll leave? Or do I want to, you know, reach out, do something that may be uncomfortable for me, acknowledge them, appreciate them in a way that's meaningful to them, and then maybe keep them on longer and be able to spare everyone the pain of turnover?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's even way more painful, I think, for a lot of us is, okay, now I got to repeat this process over again. Yeah. I got to have the extra man hours. I got to double up all of the things that come.
And it's expensive too. Turnover is really expensive to organizations. And you mentioned, when I talk to organizations, a lot of the work I do, people don't realize there's a challenge. The organization doesn't realize there's a challenge internally until they look at their turnover numbers. And they say, why can't we keep millennials?
Yeah.
Then they call me or they call other consultants and say, you know, help us figure out what's wrong. And it's not about millennials per se. It's about the management culture and the leadership culture within the organization. And if your organization's not appreciating anyone, maybe the Gen Xers will just sit there with their heads down. You know, we only have X number of years till retirement, or my kids are in school or whatever. They'll stay. But the millennials don't feel compelled to stay. They'll say, forget it. I don't want to do this. I'm going to go somewhere where I can be appreciated. And that's a major shift in an organization's thinking.
For sure. For sure. And I know, like, we're going to spend the last few minutes talking about your new book.
So okay.
Your prior book, massive, massive raves about it. Like very, very well received in the leadership community. If you manage a company at all, you better have a copy of her book, because I'll guarantee you have millennials working in your organization at some point in time. So your new book, let's talk about it.
Sure. So we started with Millennial's Guide to Work, which is the basics of how do you interview for a job? How do you get a job? How do you deal with your colleagues? How do you deal with your boss? How do you deal with the basic stuff that's going on, including your own motivation and your own goals? Millennial's Guide to Management and Leadership takes that to the next level and says, okay, how do you prepare to be a manager and a leader? And what are your self-management challenges? Because sometimes, as you know, Aaron, we're our own worst enemy. So how do we start a job? And what do we need to learn? Like how to lead a good meeting, or how to say no, or how to be smart with social media? And then going into developing staff challenges, colleague challenges, and managing up. And I do a little section on advanced politics and career challenges. So really trying to get a little bit of everything in there so that people have an opportunity to go to a place that's a challenge for them. And for each of those challenges, like, how do I create a strong culture, or I need new ideas for my career, or my staff are frequently late, going to one of those challenges, and there's 10 or more things that you can do right now to help improve the situation or to try it out.
See, and that's not only is that amazing for millennials, you know, to take that information and plug it into their current, like, into, oh my gosh, I can't figure out why I can't be late, be on time to work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they're the manager and their staff is late.
Right. And helping people see these connections. So if your staff are frequently late, that is that can also be a communication issue. It can be that maybe there's some old rule that says you have to be there at 9 when it may make sense for your staff to work different shifts. Okay. Sure. So maybe I need to look at the actual policy and why that's in place. Right. Maybe there is an expectation issue. Maybe your staff are demotivated, or maybe they're mad at you, or maybe they're just having transportation problems. And all of that is, you have to have the difficult conversation. That's my number one skill that everyone needs to learn, how to have difficult conversations. The better you get at having those difficult, awkward conversations, the better your life is going
to
go.
Pass the talking stick.
Yes, just being able to say, and whether you're a manager, a leader, or whether you're the junior person, whatever your role is, and whether you're a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend or it's with your mom or whoever, being able to say, hey, this happened. This is what I got out of it. Is that what you meant? Yeah. Or, you know, what, some other problem that, like, let's talk about this. Let's bring it out into the open and actually talk about it. Not everybody can do that, but being the one who can makes you look like a leader and makes you, you're acting like a leader. If you can say, I have all these feelings. I'm going to set those aside for a minute. Let's talk about what happened.
Yes. Yes. And I think that skill set right there, yes, it's the difficult conversations, and it's called difficult conversations on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But total positions you as not only, I know for me and myself, it's like, usually I get to own something that I don't really want to own.
Yep.
But I get to, and because I choose to do that, hey, I just got to throw out there that I did X, Y, Z, or I said something, mm-hmm. or I wasn't really in integrity when that happened, or mm-hmm. When I stand in myself as a, you know, a person, then that just exactly what you said, that positions me as a leader in my own being, in my family, and my relationships with my friends, and with my businesses, right? All of those places, when you have those difficult conversations, and man, you have one and it's tough.
Yeah.
You have that second one.
There's always one. Always. It's part of what I emphasize in the book is that when you're a manager or leader or both, you have a different relationship with people. Mm-hmm. So you're no longer like work buddies with everybody and go out and get drinks, right? Because whatever you say, they're hearing as from a manager. Mm-hmm. And so being able to adjust to that is really important, and being able to understand that people may be ticked off at you. In fact, if no one's ever ticked off at you, you're probably not doing your job well, because sometimes people are going to be unhappy. Managers have to make hard decisions. Leaders have to make decisions that people aren't necessarily always happy with. Of course, you don't go around trying to tick people off, but at the same time, you focus on the mission, you focus on what's best for your team, and sometimes you're not popular. And that is hard for people who may not have had that experience of having to make the hard decision, having to take responsibility for it, and maybe having people be a little bit out of shape about it. It'll pass. It's okay. You can tolerate it.
What's the name of your book again?
Millennial's Guide to Management and Leadership, What No One Ever Told You About How to Excel as a Leader.
So good. You guys, seriously, we're going to, if you're watching the replay of this, or you're on the podcast or on any of our other platforms, the link will be in the show notes. We will loop back around and drop it in the feed here. It will be available soon. Very,
yes.
Very soon for you. And if you are a management role of any kind, whether you are digital like I am, or mm-hmm. if you're in a brick and mortar, this pertains to you and your business, and you should
absolutely
mm-hmm. in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And you should have Miss Jennifer Wisdom, Dr. Thank Jennifer you. In your pocket, especially if you are a larger company with massive, massive different, pods of people and different areas and demographics inside that you get to bring her in and have a consult with her inside of your business to make sure everything is all on the same page. Dr. Jennifer Wisdom, thank you so much again for being with us today.
Oh,
I appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. It's always such a joy.
I could talk leadership stuff all day long with you.
Yep. Me too.
All day long. Everybody, wherever you're watching from or listening from, we appreciate you and who you are for the show. We are not a show without you. So thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you soon.